Now, there's a famous scene at the end of The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King, when Aragorn, the long-despised and overlooked king, leads the patriotic and soldier-hearted men of the West to the very gates of Mordor. Hopelessly outnumbered, yet they yet beat upon the gates of the Dark Lord and command that he and his eastern forces come out that justice may be done upon them. The courage, valor, and commitment to principle displayed in that scene is so incredibly moving and inspiring. Little did the Dark Lord or his forces know that their undoing was moving behind them at the hands of two small hobbits who were, in their own courageous, soldierly, and valor-filled way, carrying what only the overlooked, common, and everyday sort of man could carry. A ring filled with power and evil that yet carried less attraction for those two hobbits than the comforts, love, and connection to future generations found in the enjoyment of home and the community that surrounds it. Just before the ring was cast into the fires of Mount Doom and the Dark Lord and his forces were destroyed, Aragorn, not knowing how close Frodo and Sam were to accomplishing total victory in the destruction of the ring, gave this stirring speech to his soldiers. Hold your ground. Hold your ground. Sons of Gondor, of Rohan, my brothers, I see in your eyes the same fear that would take the heart of me. A day may come when the courage of men fails, when we forsake our friends and break all bonds of fellowship, but it is not this day. An hour of wolves and shattered shields when the age of men comes crashing down, but it is not this day. This day we fight. By all that you hold dear on this good earth, I bid you stand, men of the West. Men of the West, building again. We know the rest of the story. The ring was destroyed, the West was saved, the orcs and goblins and dark evil were driven back into their holes or destroyed. Then some sail off into the havens beyond the far seas, while others, like Sam, come home, get married, start a family, and plant a garden. It reminds me of the end of another great movie, The Patriot, with Mel Gibson. After all the battle, all the bloodshed, all the losses, crosses, and magnanimous victories, the Swamp Fox finds the men rebuilding the new world, starting with his home. We live in a very unique time of history. We no doubt look back over the previous administration, and if we're honest, back over really throughout much of the previous century. And we can see a trajectory that has gotten us closer to Mordor than the free and flourishing shires of our traditional American homes and communities. A dark and twisted place that makes no distinction between girls and boys, that seeks to keep filth and perversion in our libraries, that diminishes the experience and abilities of the common folk for the expert, that seeks to push parents out of our schools and encourage children to disrespect and dishonor their parents, all while belittling the men in every joke and painting manhood, as Pastor Vody Bauckham said, as nothing more than the three B's: the bedroom, the billfold, and the ball field. But manhood is so much more. Being a man of the West is so much more. How did we get here? And what are tools of hope to build with? Well, let's take a minute and think about how do we get here. Really, there are a few ways that we arrived at this situation. The first thing is there were three major wars that wiped out much of the connecting bridges of multiple generations. The Civil War and two World Wars wiped out so many American men and removed that connection, that bridge to the past, that root in the present, and that walk into the future that men provide. Those men, those fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers and brothers provide that root to the that connection to the past, root in the present, and that walk into the future. And three wars, well, a lot of them were lost. Also, the Christian church in the beginning of the 20th century began to replace 2,000 years of strong and victorious view of the gospel as filling the earth, as fulfilling the Lord's prayer that God's will was going to be done on earth as it is in heaven, as fulfilling Matthew 28 when Jesus taught us to make the nations his disciples, thus creating this expectation that that would happen. This was all replaced with an end times view of escapism, rapturism, and a devaluing of the importance of the here and now. Christians began, therefore, to evacuate places of cultural, political, and economic importance. And, of course, those places, folks, they don't stay in a vacuum. And they were filled by evil men. But we also traded taking dominion of this world for God's glory and the good of our fellow man with an atheistic philosophy and worldview of life because we didn't know any better. Pastors no longer taught the Bible on politics, welfare, the family, and all the other areas that the gospel redeems and brings the life and wisdom of Jesus to. We then accepted the lie of neutrality, that neutrality is even possible and desirable in arenas that inherently rely on somebody's moral worldview, only to find out that neutrality is a myth and a Trojan horse to invade Western Christendom and Western civilization to replace the worship of God with the worship of man. And the result? Well, the result was more people died in the 20th century than in the previous 19 centuries combined. We traded the Teddy Roosevelt expert for the ivory tower of self-proclaimed demigods. Teddy Roosevelt said, hey, not the critic accounts. It's the man in the arena with the blood on his hands and the dirt on his face, right? Not the self-proclaimed demigod, but the man doing the thing who has the education and the wisdom and the learning for sure, but the application, the sweat, the blood, the tears, the know-how, and putting those two together, because then you never forget the purpose of the learning was the application. The full-orbed implementation of wisdom is understanding and knowledge applied in the situations of life for the common man and the common woman, the common boy, the common girl. As G.K. Chesterton said, nothing more remarkable than an ordinary man and an ordinary woman and their ordinary children. So we see the fruits. We see how we got here. Wars, church replacing victory with escapism. We traded taking dominion with really atheistic worldview, because nothing was preached about and taught. We traded the Teddy Roosevelt expert for the ivory tower demigod. But we can see Mordor. But there's also a stirring in the sons of the West. God is at work. Men and pastors are seeing and finding their courage and will to fight again and to stop being the doormats for woke shoes to stomp on. What are some tools with which to fight? Very quickly, here's three tools that we can do today. We can live them out and we can talk about them. We can share them. Number one, we can reject the lie of neutrality. The idea that any education system, law system, economic system, or social work isn't rooted in a religious worldview. That's a hoax, a lie, and a farce. Evolution, atheism, and humanism are all a faith system, boasting a source of right and wrong, a plan for mankind, and a future state of better. When anybody teaches our children about where they come from, who they are, and where they're going, we are teaching a system of morals, values, and ethics. Don't believe the lie that you can't quote, bring religion into the conversation. Because, folks, that's all you can bring. You find a society's source of law, you found its God. Number one, reject the lie of neutrality. Number two, get married and have children. Celebrate family. Turn away from the poison that has infected much of even the church that seems to be shocked at the idea of what was normal just in my dad's generation, 4, 5, 6 kids in a family. Now, does this mean that we'll have to prioritize selfless sacrifice, delight in others, commitment to helping little people, family devotions, church attendance, teaching the Bible, creating a thriving home, and showing your children how to? It does. And in fact, this alone has been the only Western force, coupled with a clear and powerful preaching of the Bible, that has stopped, defeated, and turned back the woke mind virus of communism and every other ism that seeks to turn our home, nation, and Western civilization to ashes. And last of all, we have to reject the lie of neutrality, get married and have children, celebrate family, and three, recover manly courage. Our society has more than enough of cultural, political, and spineless geldings who have had their manhood castrated at the altar of feminism, totalitarianism, and existential abandonment to pleasure and ease. The good news is that, unlike actual castration, manhood in these areas can grow back. Like Samson of old, our hair can begin to grow again. We need men who love the Word of God, men who fear God and who fear offending God and who fear nothing else. Men who have a hobbit-like love of home and community, so their courage protects them from evil threats, and their love protects them from evil bribes. men who despised the offer of money or power for the Esau-like prostitution of their birthright, and who find the love of wife, children, and community far more than the lie of short-lived greed and indulgence. And that, friends, after all, is the right side way.